Hey, this is Matt Lesher. I play Eobard Thawne on CW's The Flash, and this is the Central City Underground.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Central City Underground. I'm Tony Caselli.
And I'm 64th Century Fox Joseph Zettelmeyer.
Fox Joseph Zettelmeyer? What?
64th Century Fox. Get it?
Yeah, but it's a lot. It's a lot to unpack.
No.
20th Century Fox? Wait, 64th?
Because he's from the 64th century.
I think you're just a fox in general, Joe.
Oh, you.
Oh, anybody else? 70s slang for good looking? Anybody?
All of a sudden. Hey, good looking.
Welcome back to Central City Underground, everybody. This is the show where we like to talk about our favorite TV series, The Flash. This is CCU episode 86, where we are talking about season 3, episode 18 of The Flash. Abracadabra! Kazam! I like Kazam!
Ladies and gentlemen!
But that's my lovely assistant, Joseph Zettelmeyer.
You guys would not believe what I'm wearing right now.
It's the spangliest, most awesome, and you're about to be cut in half.
And I'll tell you, those fishnets really show off my gams.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
Joe, what'd you think of this episode?
I really dug it.
Yeah, I really did.
As I think a lot of people know, Abracadabra is a villain I've been waiting to see on The Flash for quite some time.
Right.
And although I was disappointed that Harry didn't turn out to be Abracadabra,
we didn't see Harry and Abracadabra in the same room.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I really did think that David Dismalchian, who played Abracadabra, knocked it out of the park. I thought he was wonderful in the park.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. And it was interesting, and other people commented too. Where was HR this episode?
Apparently on a little love tour, but I don't believe him.
Well, that's the thing.
I don't believe him.
You know, was it suspicious? A little bit.
Un poco.
But also, from a stepping back, realistic point of view, he's directing the next episode.
Yeah, I wondered if that might be part of it.
So he may have been off being a little busy that week, like all the prep stuff that goes into directing. You don't just walk in and start rehearsing stuff and shoot stuff then that day. You know, there's some prep work
like
that goes
getting
in.
Fitted for puffy director pants.
Right. Have his monocle, getting his riding crop fitted to fit his hand, all of those kind of things. And that's if I direct plays for a living. If I don't have my monocle and riding crop,
you're useless.
It's almost impossible to get through a day.
His little chair that's got his name on the back.
You're right. The people to bring me my M&Ms and stuff. You can't. So he might have been doing some of that. So there might have been a let's give Kavanaugh a little break.
That's fair.
You know, but also
I think it's suspicious. I just think it's suspicious, and yeah. I think there's more going on there than we're hearing.
That's interesting. We'll see.
Uh huh.
Face-changing technology still exists. Dropped that hint like episode 3 of this season. Still haven't come back to it. Joe, this episode, the story was written by Andrew Kreisberg of Flash producer fame.
Indeed. No stranger to the show.
No. And the teleplay was by Brooke Roberts and David Cobb, also two people who've done a lot of stuff.
Yes, they have.
Brooke Roberts, a.k.a. Brooke Eichmeier, earlier in the show's history, had worked on like Rogue Time, Enter Zoom, Plastique, Flashpoint, Killer Frost. She's got like, I think, 14 writing credits so far, plus some other like assistant story by and that kind of thing.
Damn.
As well as David Cobb has like 8 writing credits on the show versus Zoom and Magenta and a bunch of others. So these are people who know the characters.
Indeed. And it showed.
It did, except in the thing that I think we're going to complain about and that other people are complaining about.
Yeah.
With sexy, flirty Cisco.
Right? Aggressive frat boy Cisco?
Yeah, it's
No offense to frat boys who are listening to the show, sorry.
No, but at all. The sort of I love Carlos Valdez so much.
I do too.
But the last couple times he's been really aggressive with Gypsy, you're like, it's a little stalkery,
right?
Creepy.
Right.
Like, you know, I want some space means I want some space. Like,
right? I love you so much. From the bushes outside of your apartment.
Yeah, a little like no means no, Cisco.
Right, dude. No, man, I know what that kiss meant. Yeah, she's clearly telling you to back off,
right,
dude.
She's
maybe
interested,
listen.
But not in the mood right now.
Right.
Give her some space. Yeah,
read
so
the room, man.
We'll see. But, you know, that's a directing acting choice that they made for whatever reason. And, yeah, anyway, we're jumping around. But
we are.
This episode was directed, Joe, by Nina Lopez Corrado, and it's her first Flash episode as director, but I liked the direction of the episode a lot.
I did too.
There was some really cool stuff. I mean, just the direction of some really tricky sequences too, with Barry chasing the time ship. I mean, the time ship through the city.
There was a distinct moment this episode where I thought to myself, what on earth was the special effects budget this season? Because they have busted out a ton of big effects this season.
Yeah, right?
And it's like, wow, maybe they got their Emmy nomination in season one and Fox was like, give them all the money.
That might be it. The thing that I wanted to say about Nina Lopez Corrado is that this is her first one for Flash, but she's got about 10 other directing credits. Some of them are shows that we know, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yay!
And some things like that. But it's a young person, or I'm guessing young, I have no idea. It's a person who looks to be early in their directing career, because the first directing credit appeared only about 2 years ago.
Oh, my.
And so a handful of other credits below director on the list, you know, in the pecking order, leading to that. So, you know, I really did like the direction of this episode a lot.
As did I.
And so I'm hoping that we see more from Nina Lopez Corrado, because I thought it was nice. I have a couple other news things, Joe. Do you have anything you want to throw in?
I don't.
No, not a bit. All right, I'm gonna drink this coffee.
Do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's so good. I will never get tired of that joke.
So, Joe, the show's on hiatus now for like 3 weeks.
It sure is.
Till April 25th.
Didn't realize that till this week when Tony sent me a text message with the schedule. And I was like, what the what?
What the what? Well, we go on hiatus, or we're on hiatus now. We come back April 25th. Is that 3 weeks from this past Tuesday? Or is that
a full month
from Tuesday? Yeah.
It's a full month.
So, the next episodes, though, starting April 25th, there will be 5 episodes right in a row.
Yep, yep, yep.
And then we're done with the season. So it's April 25th, May 2nd, 9, 16, and 23. And that takes us to the end of season 3.
Right.
5 episodes left, and with Barry running to the future next week, it feels like things are ramping up.
Well, and we're still so uncertain as to whether or not there will be a season 4.
Yeah. No, we're not.
Not true at all. They renewed the show almost like seconds after season 3 debuted.
Yeah, yeah. The next episode, Joe, is titled The Once in Future Flash.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
I love it. I mean, there's an Arthurian reference in there that made my little nerd heart squeal.
Right.
And
it's also a comic book title of a comic book arc.
Right. Which, again, who knows how much of that they're going to actually utilize. Dying to see what a Tom Cavanaugh episode, a directed episode, looks like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I admit, because I am a weak, weak man, I maybe watched the preview for it. Like, the second that this episode was over, I went and watched the preview.
Yeah, I did too.
It's amazing.
Yeah, the preview looks great. We don't want to spoil things. I do have a minor, tiny spoiler, which is we can look out for a new Flash costume in that episode.
We can.
And I'm not going to say anything more about that other than we've been talking about the costume, and it's been a thing that has existed in the, you know, the fandom.
I actually did discover a little bit of news that I probably should reveal today.
Okay.
Reveal with my magical assistant.
I'm gonna need you to put those fishnets back on, Joe, right now. Right now.
Don't mind if I do. So I maybe hopped on IMDb because I was so pleased with the performance of Abracadabra this season.
Yes.
What if I told you he's coming back this season?
That's not surprising, right?
Yep.
Right?
We have not seen the last of Abracadabra even this season.
Yeah, I heard from some folks, what? He's a great villain. They made him a one and done?
No
they did not. He would have to be killed and chopped up and have the pieces hung in a museum somewhere for us to believe we'd never see him again. And
right.
Even then, It's a comic book show.
Right. Well, and especially, like, in the comic books, Abracadabra is particularly notorious for you just can't get rid of him.
Right.
You just can't. No matter what you do, he always comes back.
He's from the 64th century.
Yep.
He's got magical technology.
Dude made a deal with the devil and got burned alive, still came back.
So, yeah, I think that's great. I really liked that. And I'm hoping... He returns more next season. I'm trying to remember. He's not a regular part of the Rogues Gallery normally.
You know, not traditionally. He has been a member of the Rogues Gallery before.
Okay.
And as a fact, was a member of them when they killed Bart Allen, formerly Impulse.
Oh.
He had joined then.
I do vaguely remember that. Yes, yes, yes.
But
he comes and goes. He's not one of the late founders.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily tethered to this reality. And,
right.
You know, he moves around a lot. He's got... One of the things that makes Abra so fun, and it was very clearly, you know, exemplified in this episode, is he's always got his own agenda, right? He's not a team player per se.
Right.
And he's always up to something that's unique to him, what he wants.
He's the Eobard Thawne of the Rogues.
He's got a certain thawniness.
A certain thawniness?
Yes. We're going to be doing the whole episode with like that.
I hope not.
Myth?
Myth? I can't find any episode titles past the Once in Future Flash.
Nor could I. I looked them up yesterday and I was saddened to not find any.
Yeah. But the other sort of news thing that I want to throw out is they announced the casting of a character who I did not recognize from the comics, Tracy Brand.
Yeah, I don't recognize her either.
But it's a character who is being played by Anne Dudek, who was on the show House. As well as she like Mad Men and Big Love and The Magicians, but she's going to play a character named Tracy Brand, who's going to appear, it sounds like, for several episodes for the rest of this season, and it's described as a smorgasbord of quirky idiosyncrasies, showing nary a hint of the greatness that people will celebrate her for in the future. Tracy will set out to find the genius she's destined one day to become. So whatever that means, it sounds like one of those future time travel-y
right.
things that will be fun to find out.
I will say this. Anytime we are introduced to a character whose name I don't know, I just assume that it's Eobard Thawne in disguise.
We can only hope. And he starts a nice relationship with Cisco. Damn it.
Every time.
So, Joe, those are the news things. Did you give this show a rating?
I have a rating for this show.
Go for it.
I gave this episode 8.9 inappropriately timed cold jokes.
Yes, there were. That was funny. Too early for the cold puns? Too early. Too early. I gave this episode 8.5 pipes to the gut. I
not
liked
the kind
it.
You smoke.
No, it was funny. I actually really loved that moment where she was sitting up going, I'm okay. And there's a thing sticking out of her abdomen. You're like,
right.
Oh my goodness, you're not okay.
Because Buffy the Vampire Slayer is about to go off Netflix, I've been rewatching Buffy the Vampire Slayer
yeah.
religiously. And I was like, oh, that reminds me of the time Cordelia fell and got a pipe through her stomach.
Oh.
But I remembered from that episode that I was like, she'll be fine. Apparently, pipe through the stomach isn't as dangerous as it looks.
Yeah, well.
You say that.
Turns out. So should we just start at the beginning of this episode?
Let's do it.
So we start with what? Inside Stag Industries,
yes.
Where we haven't been in a while.
Not since what? Episode 2 of season 1?
Yeah, it was early on when
we met Simon Stag.
Killed Simon Stag, right?
Right. First time we went, oh, so actually doesn't need a wheelchair. Got it.
Right. Yeah. He's not a nice person.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't seen them in a while. And we also got another reference, another classic DC reference that made me so excited.
Yeah, we did.
Cord Industries.
They talked about another robbery happening at Cord Industries. And I have a thing to, we might as well do it now.
Let's do it.
We barely started. I'm already segueing. You know, Ted Kord in the comics.
Blue Beetle!
The Blue Beetle. A great character, especially from the run the run of Justice League Europe. And
yeah.
Ridiculously funny
things. The more
things.
I watch Ray Palmer on Legends of Tomorrow, the more I'm like, I want you to play Blue Beetle.
Well, this is my news. You know he was supposed to be.
I did not know that.
This is the thing. I read an article that talked about they... in Arrow originally wrote that as Cord Industries and Ted Cord. Ted Cord being a billionaire genius inventor, right, who becomes a superhero, the Blue Beetle, but who's a little goofy.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a goofball.
He's a little dorky. You know, he's as much comic relief as effective.
Right. He's one of those superheroes you look at and go, God bless him, he's trying so hard.
Right.
He's trying so hard.
And that was the character they wrote for Arrow, but then DC said, nope, we got plans for Blue Beetle, you can't use him.
Oh.
And so they switched it up and made it the Atom and Ray Palmer, which sort of works because Ray Palmer, genius scientist,
sure,
but he's more of a professor.
Yeah, he's not an industrialist.
And that's sort of why sometimes when we go, why is Brandon Routh, why is it so goofy? Because that's how he was cast.
That's
was
hilarious.
To do the goofy comic relief guy.
That's hilarious. I had no idea.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was great that I wanted to bring that up, and they name dropped Ted Cord Industries, which is fun. But we see these two security guards, and we get our first introduction right away. We're not messing around right away to Abracadabra, who's there to steal something.
Right. We don't know what. We only know that it's in a big weird glass tank.
Right.
That all of a sudden Abracadabra is inside.
Yeah.
Which I loved, right? For those of you who know anything about stage magic, this is a big, beautiful homage to the tank trick by the legendary Harry Houdini.
Right.
And the more they had those little... In the comics, Abracadabra's whole thing is that he's a showman, right? He's not just doing magic to do magic.
Right.
First off, it's not magic until later. Eventually, he does get real magic. But for the most part, it's exactly what it says in the show, right? It's technology that's so advanced it looks like magic.
Right.
But the reason he came back to our time in the first place was because he lived in a time in which, you know, stage magic no longer existed and he wanted the applause.
Yeah, he could do tricks and people were like, yeah, we get it.
Literally, one of his first devices that he uses on 20th century people forces them to applaud no matter what they think. He actually escapes the Flash at one point because the Flash can't stop applauding.
That's awesome.
I was like, that's great.
Yep. He came back in time and then, you know, not only to get the applause and the adoration that he felt he needed, but then he became a criminal and was like, hey, I can do all these things.
Right.
Look at me.
You know, these cavemen can't do.
Right. And so it was fun to see the origins of that right away, like and snapping them into the booth and filling it with
that
water.
Great
and,
line, you know, you only it was we'll see if you can figure it out, but I don't think you have time.
Yeah, exactly. No, pretty great. And so then we cut to, we're at Jitters, and Joe and, okay, I'm going to learn how to talk.
There we go.
Joe
so
and
close.
Cecile are having.
She's breaking my heart.
A little.
She's shaking my coffee.
They're having a little coffee date with Barry and Iris and looking at the ring, and we're talking about this proposal Mark II.
Barry sings, not as good as Joe.
Shut up, Barry. Jesse Martin. Every time. It doesn't matter what he does. I love him. And I liked that she offered them Hamilton tickets.
Right, right. The prize of all prizes.
Right? Hamilton tickets.
Right. Honestly, the reason that Abracadabra may have traveled back into past was to get Hamilton tickets.
And then, of course, it becomes super awkward. What are they? Oh, they're for like 2 weeks after you're going to be awkward.
Right?
And Barry saves the day. We'd love to go. Of course we'll be
right
here.
I mean, I imagine worst case scenario, he can, you know, Weekend at Bernie's or, you know, put some sunglasses on.
Somebody can go. There's enough people in Star Labs. As long as they're not going to have the funeral that day, they'll be fine.
Right, Cisco doing his best impression of Iris.
So anyway, they get to, then they go and they look at the crime scene and, excuse me, blah, 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 things ensue, right?
Right. Well, they discover, that there is no, I like the mention that there's no water hookup of any kind into that room, mm-hmm. that the fire suppression system is all halogen gas.
How'd that happen?
Right. How did they end up full of water?
And then...
And also, welcome back, Julian. Where the hell have you been?
Well, where was he?
Well, he came back. He hadn't been in the last couple episodes.
Oh, yeah. He was on a little break, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, he got angry at Caitlin. And,
he did.
You know,
and
left.
Didn't want to sing.
And didn't want to sing, exactly. So, while they're there looking at the Stag Industries heist, they get an alert from Cisco that there's another robbery happening, and Barry speeds off as Flash to run into Abracadabra.
Ta-da!
And Gypsy shows up.
Yep.
And this is one of my favorite episode moments when he does the super classic, all of the cards coming at Barry moment. That was so great.
And I loved that as soon as Gypsy saw the cards. She had seen him do this trick before.
Yeah, she knew what it was.
Yeah, it's... I really like the addition of Gypsy.
Yeah.
Right? Well, and I even had a thought recently where I was like, okay, we've got Cisco, we've got Martian Manhunter, we've got Steel just showed up now on Legends, we've got Gypsy.
Right.
How close are we to Justice League Detroit?
Justice League Detroit team is right, yeah. Right?
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Aquaman was in that one.
He was. Aquaman, Elongated Man.
Elongated Man. Yeah, it's fun. You're right.
I'm just saying.
But I loved that moment where Abra gets away.
Yep.
And so Gypsy and Barry wind up back at Star Labs, and Gypsy's telling them everything she knows about Abracadabra.
Right. That he is a 64th century villain. I even love Joe having that moment of 64th right. century. Right. Well, which, like so many of us have done, like he's even further in the future than Thawne.
Right. Right.
He
right. is, I mean, by a lot.
Way, way in the future.
It's so funny when you hear that, you're like, 60, you still look like us. That's a long ways away.
Right.
Like, we still are on this planet in 60, what?
You know,
yeah,
people have white hair now.
Comic book.
Well, and one of the things I love is, you know, in the comic books, I don't know if you, have you seen this, Tony, what Abracadabra's real name is?
No.
Citizen Abra.
Oh.
That is literally his name. Everyone in his future is, I just read the Mark Waid comic book where Wally and Abra go back into Abra's future, and we actually see what his world looks like. And in his world, he's sort of this Robin Hood revolutionary hero.
Oh. Interesting.
It's very bizarre. It's very bizarre, but everyone is citizen something.
Citizen something, sure. Fun. So one of the things that happens before he escapes is that he reveals to Barry that he knows all about him.
Dun, dun, dun.
I love that moment watching Barry just go, again, somebody from the future who knows everything. What the?
Well, and it really does lay the seeds for Barry is clearly going to spend a lot of time in the future. And not just, you know, 2 years from now, not just Thawne's future, but at least as far, you know, forward as 64th century.
Right. Does he go, you know, how much for him? For Barry right now in this episode, you have to know he's going, do I go there? Do right. they come to me? Where do these guys come from? What is happening why to my life?
Why am I pissing off every time traveler in the universe?
Right. It's I love it. So anyway, we get at this weird moment at Star Labs where Cisco again is hitting on Gypsy.
I so don't like it when Cisco goes all bro.
Yeah.
I just don't like it. All he needs is some freaking frisbee golf.
Oh, whoa, whoa. Easy, Joe. Generalizing and just... Anyway. So Barry and Wally speed over...
Did you say
over.
General Eiling?
General Eiling. He's dead.
Right?
Is he?
Doesn't he become the Shaggy Man? Wow. Those are some nerdy references
yes,
we're busting
they
out.
Are. They are. So what happens next in the episode?
Well, we find out that Gypsy is holding something back, right?
Oh,
she
right.
has some sort of personal grudge against Abracadabra and doesn't go into it yet, but we will find out soon that Gypsy had a partner at one point that she was, it sure sounded like, romantically involved with as well as being her actual partner.
Yeah, yeah.
And Abra done killed him.
Yep. Yeah, so... We find we could see that she's really invested in this guy.
Yep.
You know, she was invested in bringing HR back, but this has a different level.
Yeah.
Right? Which is cool. And while they're there, they find out that they come up with a way to search for him, right? Cisco uses the Starlab satellites.
To see if there's anyone who vibrates at a different frequency.
Right.
At which point I was like, shouldn't it detect Gypsy too?
Right. Well, and it might
and
have.
HR?
We just didn't
yeah,
see. Yeah.
That's true.
But so they figure out where he is and they speed there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that's a whole little trap by the very smart with 64th century technology, Citizen Abra.
So cool. So many things he can do. And Gypsy has explained that the way he's pulling this off is his body is full of nanotechnology.
Yep.
That allows him to perform these technological miracles. And I love that Caitlin busts out the, is it Asimov's rule?
No, Arthur C. Clarke.
Arthur
right?
C. Clarke.
Arthur C. Clarke,
yeah,
the third
there
rule.
It is. Oh, right. Asimov's is the rules about robots.
Right.
Yes, the idea that any technology far enough advanced is indistinguishable from magic.
Right, exactly. And so they all zoom to this place thinking he's there, and it turns out that's a hologram type thing. And he's actually at Star Labs.
Yep.
And starts tearing it apart. And we get to see a cool hidden thing in the time vault.
Right. The time vault, which is hidden already, has more hidden things inside it. It's like a Russian nesting doll.
Right. He's got his little magic findy device.
Yep.
So he knows from the future, from knowing Thawne, knowing Zoom, because throughout the episode he talks about them knowing that they're big nemeses of Barry, etc.
That makes me wonder if he actually knows them, knows them.
I know.
I kind of feel like he does.
Me too. Like all these time travelers, just there's a little,
right?
The restaurant at the end of the universe where they take a little break, right?
Yes. Oh, nice reference there.
Have a little break. And talk about the bad guy, or the bad guy things, and plans against the Flash.
Right.
But so he finds this hidden, awesome looking little power source hidden in the time vault, and wants to get away with it.
That's what he does.
But it's cool. What I loved was Barry zipping in, and he's got handcuffs that, for whatever reason, he can't get out of.
Yep.
Are these Cisco's power dampening handcuffs? Maybe.
Oh, I bet maybe they are.
Maybe, because I was like, but why? How come?
Escaping handcuffs is like one of the magician go-to tricks.
Right, exactly. We've seen he's got fake arms. Why has he just got two of those? But
fake arm. I forgot about fake arm. Was great.
What a weird, like.
And I love that, like, we saw it later. It's like, well, that's a hairy fake arm.
It was.
It's like Gorilla Grodd fake arm.
Cisco, you want to give me a hand? Stop it. Even Iris, it's not funny. Stupid. Just their interactions about that. Really funny. So, but he basically says to Barry, oh, I know who Savitar is.
FYI.
Let me go and we'll solve this. I'll tell you who he is, right? Which sets off sort of one of the big conflicts of the episode, right?
Yep.
And that may continue to be for a while.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because it puts a little rift between Gypsy and our team.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, she even says very shortly thereafter, I don't trust your people.
Right? I mean, one of the notes I have written down was, as this episode continued and Joe is in there, you know, what happens, of course, is Joe lets him out. Joe says, you tell me.
Well, something important happened. No, wait, no, it happens after that, after Joe lets him out, I think.
Okay.
You're right. The kaboom.
Yeah, that's after.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Joe lets him out, and basically, Joe West, top detective, right?
Yep.
Is trading this prisoner's freedom for
information.
Information.
Yep.
Right? And Gypsy sees it and jumps in right at the perfect time to screw it up.
Yep.
Right?
So close to getting the answer. And there was something about the way Kadabra was talking about Savitar to Joe. You know, he had that moment of reverence to, you know, our Lord of Speed, the Savitar.
Yeah.
Which did make me go, I was like, is he being sarcastic or does he actually worship Savitar? I don't know.
No, I took it as sarcasm.
I did too.
Yeah. I took it as him just poking the hornet's nest a little bit, you know.
Don't poke the hornet's nest.
No.
It's full
of
hornets.
And Joe will shoot you in the face.
Right.
Which I was hoping he did. I was like, get him, Joe.
There was a part of it, it's like, is he going to do like the bullet catch trick? Where, like, you know, Joe pulls the trigger and then Kadabra spits out the bullet.
Oh, that would have been cool, actually.
Right? Magic tricks!
Right? So, just as he's about to say, to tell Joe, right? Or we think. Like, Joe opens the door.
Right.
And we think that Kadabra's going to keep up his end of the bargain. And this is an interesting question, because would he have?
I don't know.
But she, Gypsy jumps in and is freaking out and is mad, and he gets away.
Yep.
And he's running.
They turn around and he's gone.
Yep. And it was funny because he's just sort of standing in front of the elevator. Doot, 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 you know?
Right. It seems as though he's just waiting for them.
Yeah.
Because it turns out fool me once, shame on me. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on Team Flash.
Yeah.
Because, yes, they see him waiting for the elevator, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and they launch their attack only to discover that it is a hologram again.
Damn it!
He's a tricky, tricky fellow, that Abracadabra.
He throws a piece of exploding magic something
yes.
into the room, giant explosion.
Holy hand grenade.
the holy hand grenade, Caitlin gets hurt.
Oh boy, does she.
That explosion was pretty good. Yeah. The effects on that moment were great.
It was not a small explosion. They all got, like, it's a miracle that only Caitlin was hurt.
Yeah, I remember thinking when it happened, Julian's smash into the wall.
Yeah, because he goes flying.
Yeah, yeah, that was a pretty big moment.
Tom Felton's not a big guy.
No, he flew real good.
He did.
So then we come into the Grey's Anatomy moment of the episode.
That was surgery is maybe something that flips me out a little bit when it's on television. I don't watch the doctor shows.
Well, but also the fact that they even HR is like, we got to get her to an ambulance, blah, blah, blah.
And I loved that was, you know, because obviously, you know, if they did that, then the problem would be solved too quickly.
Right.
The reasoning why they couldn't do it made a ton of sense, and I loved it.
Right. She's will be identified as a Meta who was kidnapping and harming people.
Who they already have a file on. It's like, what a reminder that Caitlin is actually living this double life now.
Yeah.
Because she freaking attacked the Central City PD.
Right. Right?
It's like, oh yeah, no, she's a wanted woman.
Yeah. Yeah. They're in there trying to save her life.
Right.
Right. So Julian is being the doctor and Caitlin is talking him through it. And yes. Iris is being the mop nurse and helping, you know. As they're doing that, I love that little scene between Gypsy and Joe, where Gypsy goes after him and Joe gives right back.
I took two oaths.
Oh, man. Well, and also I was like, you tell her.
Yeah.
This is your Earth. Who are you? Get out. Like, oh, man, I was sitting there watching it getting fired up. I'm like, don't you come at me on my Earth.
Right.
What you talk about, Gypsy? I don't know why I became Willis all of a sudden. Willis. I don't even know. But that moment.
Go rob a 7-Eleven.
I want. Oh.
Too soon?
Too soon. So that moment was great because you could see Gypsy like just building this wall between herself and the rest of the team. Like, what are you doing?
Well, you got to imagine kind of from her standpoint, this should have been a by the book operation and Team Flash is just completely foobarring it.
Well, and yeah, exactly. And also she says they've been trying to catch him for a long time.
Right.
You know,
and that he hasn't shown up again since he murdered her partner years ago.
Right.
This is the first time he's shown up since then.
And it's interesting that he's come here. I mean, backtracking. He must have been.
He needs the technology from this Earth.
Yeah, yeah. Their Earth.
Because then I think, because Gypsy even points out the technology that their planet doesn't have.
Right. She says, I wish we had that kind of satellite.
Yeah, I think Earth 1 is much more technologically advanced.
Yep. Okay.
I mean, as evidenced by HR's incredible technological knowledge.
Right.
The guy could put an abacus together.
Yeah. He's got cool face-changing stuff.
He does. Though. That's true.
But who knows? They just don't have the same kind we do. Whatever.
Right.
So, yeah. So then we go back to Kadabra's putting together his time machine. They figure out what he's trying to
his
build.
Is way bigger than the time bubble.
Yeah,
the time bubble barely fits one person.
Yeah, no, he's got like a space shuttle.
This is the time freighter.
It is. It's like a whole little capsule of, you know, you could take it on vacations,
right?
Yeah. And there was a moment where somebody even talked about this. I can't remember where, but while Flash and while they're chasing him in the city, you're like, why don't you just fly straight up? Why are you flying through the city where they can catch you? Why don't you just get out of there?
Like, you know what the other thing that bugged me about this? And like, it wasn't a huge thing, but it made me chuckle every time is like, you know, so he opens like three different wormholes throughout this particular fight.
And gets turned away from them, yeah.
My point is like, why are you opening these wormholes like a mile and a half away from you? Why not just open them right in front of you and fly through?
Get up to speed and then hit the button.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. You realize that the problem is you have to fly all this way to get to the wormhole. Just make it closer.
But I did love that chase sequence.
Oh, it was super cool.
Man, and that moment where Barry leaps and phases through, grabs him and phases through, that was awesome.
Well, and I love that they slow motioned it for a second too, so that we, you know, you see all the lightning surrounding him as he keeps making all these twists and turns, and like the lightning can't keep up with him.
Yeah.
It was so awesome.
Yeah, it was very cool. And again, a great directing and mm-hmm. cinematography and CGI all wrapped in one.
Oh, yeah. The visuals of that particular fight were well above and beyond what I was expecting.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty neat. There is, it might be in one of our feedbacks, somebody who said, now, why not just maybe find a way to save that ship? Like, that could be useful to you. Like, you need a Flashmobile. That'd be great.
Right? You know, I got to imagine it's taxing to keep opening those wormholes yourself. Just use the ship.
Yeah, but, you know, that's a lot of special effects, probably.
And it also has so much room for, like, souvenirs from the future if you want to, like, you know, load up on coffee. Future coffee.
Load on future coffee. Whatever. Knickknacks.
Right. You know, little gifts for everybody. Right.
You guys, look at these cool Flash Museum things they have in the 64th right. century.
Look, guys, I brought you your tombstones. Happy Halloween.
They sell these bobbleheads of all you guys in the future. Look at. Everybody gets their own bobblehead.
Aww.
That'd be awesome. Anyway, so they capture him and they put him back in the cell, and then there's much discussion, you know.
What do we do? What do we do?
What do we do? Who's going to do what? And everybody's looking to Barry because he gets to make the decision. Right. And all the while this is happening, Caitlin is, we've done the surgery and she's recovering.
Right. It was hard surgery, although it allowed, because, you know, we missed the part before about where we've now established that Caitlin and Julian are on the rocks.
Yes.
Get it? That's a nice joke.
Yeah, I got it. It was good.
You get it?
Mm-hmm. Solid as a rock.
And this, you know, the surgery allowed the two of them to kind of rebond and reconnect.
Well, but the other thing we sort of skipped over when we were talking about her the surgery was... they said to her, you know, if you start to go south, we'll remove the necklace because your healing properties as Killer Frost, you'll heal. And her response was,
I'd rather
no,
die.
You will not. I would rather die.
Yep.
And that was an important moment.
It does. It says a lot about how Caitlin feels about her powers.
Absolutely. And so we could just wrap the Caitlin storylines.
Yeah.
Caitlin's
why not?
Storyline up right now. Right.
Why not?
Once they solve the abracadabra thing, right?
Yes.
Caitlin is recovering. HR finally shows up.
Right.
Where have you been? Oh, I had a little rendezvous with, what was her name?
Rhonda?
Rhonda, a little rendezvous with Rhonda.
A rendezvous?
Uh-huh. And they give him a little grief about that. Cisco said, please don't tell me about this ever again.
Did he say something about positions?
I can't something.
Oh, my goodness, HR.
I don't. And then, of course, he likes the lime jello that Caitlin hates.
Right. Loves it. Right? Loves the lime jello. I love that Cisco ate all the strawberry jello. Come on, Cisco.
But then we had just a beautiful, heartbreaking moment where Caitlin's mid-sentence and literally says, cross my heart and hope to... Oh... And goes into seizures.
Yep.
And man, that scene, all of them, the trying to save her was
heartbreaking.
Right?
Watching them break down, I am sorry, but Tom Felton, you are such a good addition to this show.
Yeah.
Holy cow, that dude can act.
Well, and they all have such nice chemistry.
They do.
In that moment where they thought they were losing her.
They had that adorable moment before she passed where she was giving him crap about his bedside manner.
Yes.
He said, I'm working on it.
Yes. And so they sort of, you know, patched up their icy relationship. And then, icy patch, get it?
We're terrible.
And then, man, that broke my heart when she was dying and they couldn't save her.
And Julian just did what he had to do.
And ripped the thing off her. And Cisco even yelled, that's not what she wants.
I'm not going to watch her die.
Right, right. And then there's a couple beats go by and they still think it didn't work.
And then, beep, beep.
And then the beep, heartbeat monitors. And then what a cool effect.
Oh,
I mean, it looked like she exploded into mist.
Yeah, the frost cloud. Yeah.
Right?
Was awesome.
Blew them all across the room. That was amazing.
And then who steps out of that cloud? Killer Frost.
Yep.
Yeah. The last thing we see of that episode is her ice blasting someone. We don't know who.
We don't know who.
Yeah.
Now, that was pretty cool.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. So we know Barry's going to the future next episode, but the thing that's interesting is that ties up again another one of the headlines.
It does. Killer Frost on the loose.
Killer Frost on the loose. And I'd have to go back and look at the list, but unless the only other one is Detective Joe West honored.
Yep.
At City Hall or at the police station or whatever.
We've met Music Meister, but the Music Meister headline has not come true by any stretch of the
imagination. Oh, right. He had a 6-figure book deal.
Yeah.
Which is weird, but yeah.
I don't totally get that one either. Now that he's this weird figmenty, fifth dimension-y imp.
Right? Yeah.
Whatever the hell he is.
Whoever he is, we'll have to watch for that. Yeah. Maybe in the background somewhere, that'll just be his book on a shelf.
No explanation.
My time with Supergirl.
Explain I've been music. Nothing!
Well, exactly. So, and then the other final wrap-up thing of the episode, well, there are two, really, but the final wrap-up with...
Barry trying to reason with Abracadabra ranks as one of my favorite things in the history of this series.
It was a pretty great moment.
When he's trying to appeal, you're a human being, you have a family. He's trying to appeal to this human part. At which point Abracadabra, first off, drops a huge potential spoiler bomb as he starts listing the Flash's major foes, including himself and Thawne and Zoom and DeVoe.
And DeVoe.
Which made me very excited because, and I know a lot of you guys caught it, DeVoe is a reference to Clifford DeVoe.
Yep.
Who was actually not a villain of Barry Allen originally. He was a villain of Jay Garrick's.
Right. And known as
The Thinker.
The Thinker.
And it's interesting. He's a very fascinating character in the comic books because he was kind of like a mid-level dangerous-ish villain. He had a thinking cap that made him super smart.
Yes.
That was his power. What's interesting is and there's a really, really lovely arc you deal with it. He ends up dying in the comic books, of old age. I think it's cancer that he ends up dying of. And he and Jay Garrick actually kind of formed this weird friendship at the end.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is the Thinker goes from being a mid-level villain in life to one of the more dangerous villains of the DC universe in death.
Yes.
Because he uploads his consciousness into his thinking cap and becomes a completely digital entity.
Right.
Which ends up being, I'm not going to give it away too much, read the JSA comic book. He is a terrifying force once he becomes digital.
Well, and it'll be fascinating to see if, because they've already said next season's big bad
is
not going to be a speedster.
And a lot of people are now wondering if DeVoe is going to be the big bad next season.
And we had been speculating, well, maybe that's when we'll get the Rogues as a team up. But that doesn't mean that we can't next season.
Right.
But for them to name drop another, you know, well-known Flash villain at this moment does seem like maybe a hint.
There's a great story arc in the Geoff Johns version where Digital Thinker comes back to Central City. Keystone City originally.
I don't know this one.
And it's really good. And he, you know, it's at this point, the Rogues are all attacking the city. And all of a sudden, the Thinker shows up and takes over the entire city.
Cool. So we could combine those things nicely next season.
I'm very curious to see what's going to happen.
Yeah. That would be pretty cool.
But yes, so Abracadabra has this fantastic, fantastic speech about the Flash's future and about Savitar. And that great moment that was so awesome yet chilling of, Savitar is the only one who really broke you. And I've always been a little jealous.
Yeah.
And now it sort of feels like I helped kill her too.
Right.
It's like, oh God.
Right.
You're a monster.
Right. And all of this information from the future where he's just come back in the past knowing everything that happened and now feels good about having had a hand in it. Creepy.
Yeah. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm late for my execution.
Oh my Lord. Just evil. I loved it. And so that's partly why I really look forward to seeing this character more.
Right. Well, and it reminded me a little bit of Thawne in season 1, right? Where it's like, it's easy for me to kind of, you know, psychologically distance myself from all of you because to me, you've all been dead for thousands of years.
Right. Yeah. And we definitely saw some of that from him in that, you know, that's neat. I mean, it's like us going back, you know, I would love to go back and see a big baseball game or a giant event or be, you know, and just go, I was here for that.
I feel like
that.
I'm part of it now. Yeah. This is cool.
look at what I get to do, you know? And that's what he is. He's like, ooh, the moment that you lost everything. Yeah, neat.
I'm kind of a part of it now.
Oh, creepy.
So cool.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. And so then Gypsy has a little final moment with Sisko. Are we okay? Or whatever she says. Where does this leave us? And he just looks at her and she goes.
Yep.
I don't know.
Nope.
I gotta say, I hope, because I like that relationship. If Sisko remains a normal person.
Yes.
Instead of wigging out every time he sees the pretty girl.
That would be swell.
I would love them to be connected. Because I agree with him when he's like, how can it not work from the exact same powers? Yeah. Two people who vibrate at the same, you know, the whole thing, whatever it was. Yeah, really cool stuff.
And let's not forget, and I know we skipped it, but it's worth saying, he did get a great Lord of the Rings reference in on this episode.
Yeah,
come on.
He did.
You shall not pass!
Yeah, that was pretty funny. The other thing I just have to throw out is while they're trying to save Caitlin, on Facebook, Julia, aka the Elfie one, who sends in feedback.
Yes.
She public service announcement: please always remove a person's shirt and undergarments before using a defibrillator.
Right,
I love it. Thank you for your medical assistance, Julia.
Right, that's probably why it didn't work.
That's probably right. And now she's Killer Frost, and you can just blame yourselves.
Right, you guys should have known better,
jerks. So Barry, they go away, and Iris and Joe are having a nice. That's the dogs barking upstairs, Joe. Sorry.
Well, these dogs are barking.
These dogs are barking. They are barking. normally, I would have edited that out, and I'm not going to now.
No, you have to keep that now. That was fantastic.
This is one of the few moments that Joe and I this season have been in the same room to record the podcast, which is fun. They are barking. Ah, Lord. So Joe and Iris are having a nice moment on the couch, man, where he tells her that story about how I would sit and watch you sleep and breathe. And I have two kids. I know exactly what that's like, where you're up in the middle of the night going, how do we not let these two little people get hurt that we're in charge of? They're everything. And man, that, again, how many times do we say Jesse L. Martin just rocked our world with a moment?
So good.
They have this beautiful moment, and Barry comes in and says, all right, I know what we need to do. I can't go to the past anymore. Sure. Everybody's always a step ahead of us. Everybody.
Because
you know why?
They know the future.
They have all this information, and I'm done.
Yep.
Yep. And so he says, that's where I'm going to go.
And it's
funny. I
can't
wait to see where this takes him. Because the question for me is it only next episode? Does he go, how far into the future is he going to go?
There's a part of me that wonders if there's a reason we haven't seen the titles for the next several episodes yet.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if they just give too much away.
Right. I don't know.
Might be.
But there was a part of it. It's funny because I didn't totally even, I guess I knew it in the back of my brain. But when Barry said the whole thing of, you know, our enemies are always have the upper hand because they know the future.
Mm-hmm.
There was a part of me that was like, oh, he's right. They often do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you look at it, all of the Eobard Thawne incarnations.
Yep.
Right? I almost said incantations, which is not the right word.
No.
But now I want to see Eobard Thawne doing an incantation.
Right.
Oh, which we did in Legends of Tomorrow.
We actually sure did.
Yeah.
We actually sure did. It all comes together.
They do.
Zoom didn't exactly, but he...
No, but he knew things.
He knew things because from the other universes.
Right, from the other universes and from the Speed Force.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And then, of course, Savitar.
Yep.
100%.
Abracadabra.
Abracadabra, right? So I love that moment of Barry just going, okay, now it's my turn. Let's go.
Time to figure this stuff out.
Yeah, which really made me sad that there's a month before the next episode.
I know.
Because I wanted to see it.
I know. Me too. Yeah, no,
funny.
It was, this was a rock solid episode.
So do you think Barry
as little as possible.
Yeah. Do you think future Barry as Savitar is too obvious now?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
I don't know that I do either.
I still
That's
think it's
sort
future
of
Barry.
Still who I'm betting on. Yeah.
I could be wrong. I still think it's future Barry.
Yeah.
I will say Joe's big, beautiful heartfelt speech to Iris this episode made me extra worried for one or both of them.
Right.
Right.
Because we got a lovely little moment with Caitlin and Julian, and then she got killed.
I will say, like,
and Killer Frosted.
Although I don't watch it particularly frequently anymore. Like, back when I was a big fan of The Walking Dead and watched it religiously, there was an episode in which one of my all-time favorite characters gave a big, beautiful, important, heartfelt speech.
Yeah.
And as soon as he did it, I was like, oh, no. Now he's gonna die.
Yep.
And next episode, he died.
Of course.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, Jesse L. Martin.
Yeah.
Please do not make that heartfelt speech mean what I think it means.
Right. Well, it's hard. He gives a lot of those. So, he does. You know, but
that one wasn't in any hallway.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. We'll see. The couch of farewells.
I wanted there to be like behind that scene. I just wanted to see like the tarp that they had taped over the hole in the house that Killer Shark had ripped.
Still
in.
There, yeah. Oh man, too funny. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see because it being Barry, future Barry, will blow all their minds. But there's a part of me that goes, if that's where they are leading, what if? Because they keep saying it's going to be the most heartbreaking reveal ever, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Which means it could be Barry, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what if it just flips on us and all of a sudden it is like Joe.
Right.
Or something insane where you go, what?
What if after all this it's someone we've never met before?
You're right. It's like,
my name's George Wahoozit.
Who? Damn it, George.
Who the hell is this guy?
Oh, I don't think so. I think it's going to be somebody we're clear with or we're familiar with.
George Wahoozit. Where the hell did I pull that out of?
I don't know. I hope it's not him. So, Jeff, we got some feedback. Should we talk about it?
Let's feedback it up.
Let's feedback it up.
This is the sound of Tony and I opening our cellular devices.
We got some feedback from Ross, and I'm going to read it.
Would you?
Yeah. Ross says, this was a very good episode. It was fun to see one where there was an actual antagonist that wasn't created out of the team's own actions, and one that presented an actual challenge. I'm a bit bummed that it looks like another one and done for a fairly important Flash villain. Oh, I don't think it is, Ross.
Oh, but it's not.
I think he'll be back. As always, Joe West going full protective dad is amazing to watch. He brings a humanity to the role that you can feel. He will do anything to keep his kids safe and makes you believe it. The Caitlin-Julian relationship this week finally felt real to me. Danielle Panabaker needs more speaking time where she's not spouting tech and medical jargon. When she's given something a bit more meaty, she always does so well with it. Then you add in Cisco and Gypsy to end up with a very good episode indeed. I gave this 8.75 out of 10 people yelling random intersections.
Stay in Maine!
That's great. Thanks, Ross. Yeah, great feedback, Ross. I
couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Love that, Caitlin Panabaker. Man, she's good.
Caitlin Panabaker. And I really did enjoy it. You're right.
Did I say Caitlin? Danielle this, Panabaker. I'm dumb.
Ooh, Danielle Snow. Caitlin Frostkiller, Danielle Panabaker. What?
Snow.
PhD. The whole thing of Abracadabra just being introduced, I agree. I loved the energy from that villain, from this story.
And yeah, as if IMDb is to be believed, we'll be seeing him again very soon.
Oh, we'll see. Joe, we got some feedback from the Green Butterfly that I'm going to play.
Play it.
All right. Joe, we got some feedback from the Green Butterfly that I'm going to turn my phone up and play.
Hi, this is your Eye in the Sky Green Butterfly. Okay, so I sent feedback for last week's episode, but clearly Savitar hit it because I feel like he was offended by my enthusiasm for the episode because they overlooked him for a solo and he is angry.
Clearly.
But I really loved the episode, the wonderful musical Flash. I gave it 11 out of 10 Wizard of Oz references. I don't really think there was 11 references, but hey, this episode was so awesome, I had to give it an extra point over and above the perfect 10. And then, just like magic, we're on to a new week, and we're treated to another spectacular episode.
Right.
So I know there's a theory that HR is Abracadabra, and we didn't see HR in this episode until the very end, which made me wonder if he really is Abracadabra. But Gypsy did take him to Earth 19, Abracadabra, I mean. So if HR was Abracadabra using that face changer thing we know he has, then he shouldn't have been able to come back.
Yeah, you're right.
Unless something really crazy happened, like the blonde guy playing Abracadabra was really the magician's assistant, and HR used his face changer thing to change into Gypsy, but I don't even know if the
face
changer thing can change your whole body.
That would
like
be
that.
Awesome, though.
I don't know. I'm just really confused. But I loved the episode. I loved the awesome fight scene with all the wormholes opening up. Flash really brought the heart this week as Joe is fighting tirelessly to save his daughter and Barry to save his love. And the acting award this week, I think, goes to Carlos Valdez for his emotional portrayal as they were losing Caitlin.
Oh, that was
rough. Into the future and find out what's going to happen next. I like this plan. This episode gets 10 out of 10. Who ate all the strawberry jello? I like lime. Wait a minute. What? We get 3 weeks off.
Yep.
Now I want to figure out how to run into the future and see what happens next. Oh my goodness, this is going to be a long wait. Have a super week. Green Butterfly out.
Thank you, Green Butterfly. Butterfly? It's wow. One of those days, Joe.
Weird, right?
Thank you, Green Butterfly. I love it.
I podcast better when I've had a few.
Man, you're right. That whole idea of HR not being in the same room as...
I mean...
Yeah, it makes sense. But I love that just crazy idea of what if it was the magician's assistant?
And right.
We find, you know, next episode, Gypsy's locked up in a cage somewhere. And it was, what? Who took him away? Oh, right. No.
If at any point Abracadabra talks about how much he loves lime jello, then we'll know.
Right.
Then we'll know.
Keep an eye out for it. Excellent feedback. Thank you.
Tony, we've got some feedback here from Stoic John.
Yeah.
If I may. Hey, guys. I'm hoping you can clear this up for me before Barry causes more trouble in the future. I promise nothing. I don't understand the difference between a world and an alternate timeline in DC. Is Earth 2 just an alternate timeline where enough changes occurred to make it distinctive from the other timelines, or is it something else entirely? Is Barry not even on Earth 1 anymore after Flashpoint, or does it stay Earth 1 because it's the timeline that the writers pick for their storylines? What's your headcanon on this? I had another question. I'm going to keep it a secret and brood about it for a couple more weeks before mentioning it to anyone. Stoic John. Stoic John, you have hit upon one of the great conundrums of comic bookdom, which is parallel universes versus alternate timelines.
But in the show, I think they've done a good job of clearly establishing Earth 2, Earth 3, Earth 19.
Yep.
These are alternate universes.
Yes, that have their own distinct timelines.
That have their own distinct timelines, absolutely. And they vibrate at a different frequency, which is why they exist more or less in the same space as we do. But they vibrate at a different frequency, and so they're in their own universe.
And that's why when Barry created Flashpoint and screwed up with the timeline of Earth 1,
yeah.
It didn't affect Earth 2 at all, which
correct.
Is why when Harry and Jesse came from Earth 2, they immediately recognized that things were messed up.
Right.
Because when they left they left Earth 1, it was before the timeline had gone kerflooey.
Yep.
And they were like, hey, what's going on? That's what it is each parallel universe has its own distinct timeline. That timeline can be screwed with by people on that specific universe.
Right.
But it doesn't create a parallel universe. It just changes the timeline in that specific universe.
Yep.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like if you look at each dimension, each parallel universe, as being its own train track, you can have a bunch of train tracks running alongside each other, right? Parallel next to each other. And you can do whatever you want up and down that train track, but it's not going to affect the other train tracks.
Did you just Star Trek this explanation, Tony?
There you go.
You just totally Captain Kirk this explanation. That's amazing. For those of you who don't know, what often happens in Star Trek is one person will give a very long scientific explanation for something, and then someone else will explain it with a colloquial metaphor.
The slightly less intelligent one will sum it up.
I didn't say that.
So, yeah, I hope that makes sense.
That was amazing. I've never had that happen in real life.
You're funny. So, Joe, we also got some feedback from Justin.
Yes.
I'm going to read it.
Would you?
Hey, guys, in a surprising twist, I'm actually caught up this week, so I thought I'd send a quick feedback. First, props to Tom Felton's stunt double. It seems like they took every opportunity they could to either blow Julian up or fling him across a room in this episode. But, of course, our friend Plot Device helped him avoid all that shrapnel. Second, I love Sisko, and 99% of the time, he's all sorts of charming. But there have been moments between him and Gypsy which have him getting awful close to Pepe Le Pew territory. Warner Brothers comics reference. Nice.
I couldn't agree more.
It's a tad off-putting, and I really want to root for Sisko here. I'm sure I'm not the only one who noticed that HR was conspicuously absent the entire time Kadabra was around. That can't be a coincidence. Maybe not, but I will refer you back to Green Butterfly's excellent theory. Speaking of secret villainous identities, I'm not convinced Savitar is future Barry. It doesn't fit, given what we know about Barry's future so far. He's still Flash in 2024, and he's sending Rip a message in 2056. But mostly, I just don't see how he goes from the kind of person who would go to extraordinary lengths to save his parents to the kind of person who wants to murder the woman he loves. That's all I got. Looking forward to the podcast. Yep, it's not an easy journey to see. I don't know, Justin, you're right. That's the thing. Like, what is it?
We just don't know.
And maybe that's why it's so heartbreaking, because it is him, and something happened to him to drive him insane.
Right.
Right? Oh, my goodness.
Would you say it could even possibly be a fate worse than death?
Dun, dun, dun.
See what I did there?
There was some supposition that this
yes.
Caitlin event made her all three of the prophecy this week.
It could be.
I saw some people talk about that on Facebook.
It could be.
Because she fell. She died, you know. One will fall. She mm-hmm. died and came back, suffering a fate worse than death, living as Killer Frost, which she said she didn't want to do. She would rather die. So that's fate worse than death for her.
And she did betray them when she kept the piece of the stone.
Is it all Caitlin all the time?
It could be.
I don't know why I'm doing Superman music, but now you just am. More feedback.
Yes, we have some feedback from Mike.
Read it.
Mike has the following to say. Sup, CC Undergrounders. That was the most street I've ever been.
I liked it.
Fun show last night. Man, I hope we get the Rogues next season. I know I sent in that list about HR being Savitar, and while compelling, the logical part of my brain keeps flashing Barry Allen, and I'll tell you why. I believe earlier in the season, Savitar told Barry once he knew he'd never be the same. It would be hard for Barry to wrap his mind around the fact that he murdered Iris, no? And then, in last night's episode, Caitlin said, in order to solve a problem, you have to understand it. That problem being Savitar. Once they know that Savitar is Barry, they will be able to deal with the incredibly emotional and heart-wrenching ordeal, and I look forward to that. An interesting side note. I wanted to share with you guys. These are the lyrics to the original song, Running Home to You. Can't change what the future may hold, but I want you in it every hour, every minute. Catch you later, guys. But wait. Mike's not done.
Mike said the second piece of this says, so I did my rewatch. In Stag Industries, Barry says to Joe, I don't know, Joe, we're out of time. Out of time being the future Flash New 52 comic arc that this season is obviously based off of. Interesting. Mike then goes on to say some other things that are a little spoilery from the trailer. Yes. That I'm going to not repeat.
Yep.
But Mike, I like your theories.
Yes, as do I.
But for people who don't want to talk too much about spoilery, trailery things, we're going to not do those. But thank you for the feedback, because really great thoughts.
Indeed.
Joe, we got one more feedback from Natalie, a.k.a. Machete Betty.
Such a good name.
Machete Betty says, hi, Central City Underground. I first want to say I love your podcast. Aw.
You.
After watching last night's episode, a thought occurred to me. What if Caitlin Snow is the member of the Flash team that fulfills Savitar's prophecy? Oh, we just talked about this.
That's right. Mic drop.
She betrays the team by keeping a portion of the Philosopher's Stone. She, as Caitlin Snow, falls when she flatlined and then suffers a fate worse than death by becoming Killer Frost. I can't wait to hear your thoughts, and thanks for doing what you do. Machete Betty, I got to tell you, I would not be surprised if that's what it turns out being.
Right? Never occurred to me until you said it.
Right? Absolutely. Now, what does that mean for us with the rest of this season unfolding, I wonder, though, if that's what it is?
Yeah, I just
We don't know. It's going to be one of those things we're going to look back on
right.
and go, oh, it meant X, Y, Z. Or, you know, are there three of them that this happens to? And you can go, it could be any of those. Who knows?
I'm getting cross-eyed.
Right? All I know is at some point, in theory, in the next five episodes, we're going to wind up at that moment on Iris's grassy knoll.
Right.
Right? With HR or somebody who looks like him.
Right.
On a roof with a rifle,
mm-hmm.
and Iris not wearing a wedding ring, and or an engagement ring,
right?
And Barry not being fast enough to save her.
No sign of Wally.
No sign of Wally yet. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. This, I love that he's going to the future, because this whole thing of let's try and change some of these headlines and see if we can change the future, that plan's not working.
The only one that seems to have sort of changed was the Kid Flash taking down Plunder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But is that enough?
Clearly not yet.
Right, because Cisco just vibed in there this episode and nothing changed.
Something we skipped. Cisco just does a quick vibe to the future again and goes, yeah, that's still happening. Mm. Right? Interesting.
Is there some way they can prevent Joe from getting any honors?
Right. But what, even then, is there some way Cisco can vibe to the future to figure out how they save her?
Also an idea. Also an interesting idea.
Right? But since they haven't figured it out yet, clearly not.
Look, they can vibe themselves into a magical musical world that doesn't actually exist. I mean...
Yeah, I can't remember who in that feedback last week said, I chose to believe it was John's telepathic abilities,
right.
The Martian Manhunters helping them with that. I wish they'd said that in the series.
Right.
I wish you'd been in the writer's room for that moment. It would have made more sense.
Sure would have.
Anyway, Joe, that's it for this week. We now have a few weeks off.
We do. Yeah. I'm going to Aruba. No, I'm not. This is the end of the semester for me. I'm very busy.
Awesome. All right, cool. So everybody, we're back. The next episode is April 25th. Feedback deadline will be the next day at the end of the night, midnight, Wednesday, April 26th. Get your feedback into us, 304-837-2278. In the meantime, go and leave us an iTunes review.
Yeah.
What other things can people do during this hiatus, Joe?
I mean, you know, it's their lives, man. They can do what they want. I'm not here to tell anyone how to do that, live their lives.
No, fair enough. Fair enough. I would suggest lots of snacks.
Oh.
I'm a sandwich guy myself.
I'm a pizza man.
Like, yeah, you know, have some pizza, have a sandwich. Mm-hmm. Go back and listen to some old episodes of CCU.
Check out Legends of Tomorrow if you have not been watching Legends of Tomorrow. Holy moly, has that show gotten good.
Yeah, Martin the Flash does a podcast about
that.
Cybercast, that's fun. Check out the other GSM podcasts about all of these amazing superhero shows, because there's some fun stuff going on.
Speaking of the interesting superhero shows, this is sort of news, I guess, sort of, kind of.
Hit me.
Hop on CCU on Facebook at some point to take a look at, they have just released the first image of Black Lightning,
yes,
the new CW superhero show.
Yep.
They just released the first picture of Black Lightning in full costume, and he looks awesome.
He looks great.
Awesome.
Yeah. And have we heard, do we know if that's going to tie in with the other four?
No.
I mean, I honestly don't. If anybody knows, feel free to post it in comments once this is, you know, posted on the Facebook page or on the CCU website.
I have two words about it. It better.
Yeah, right?
I want more connectivity.
It's fun. It's really fun. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for being with us this week. Be good to yourselves over the next month, and we will talk to you near the end of April.
All right. See you then.
Bye.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.